Well, I have another young man. He come from way up in the north country, and he was a transplant to the north country. He come from over closer to Philadelphia, I believe, and I met him when I was assisting Pastor Dale in Lancaster, and he showed up, and I fell in love with him pretty much immediately. So, Pastor Brian, if you'd like to come up here and share what you're seeing into this year or whatever the Lord give you, I would appreciate it, and I think that they'll be very blessed as well.
Be careful making visits to Titusville. I went up for a visit, and we never left. So, a couple things to share with you today, and there's a word that's been stirring in me since my last visit here, because you guys planted that seed there. But one of the things I want to encourage you with is, you know, just thinking through your situation. When my grandfather passed, he had built a great ministry, and we had the funeral, and you know, 2,500 people came through the funeral, and it was churches, and it was biker gangs, and it was a very interesting group. But I remember my grandmother, the day that he died, sitting there with him, and she just said, "It's over. It's all over." Because he was the love of her life. He was her world. And right after the funeral, there was a guest speaker that came in from Africa that my grandfather's church had been supporting, and he preached a message, and the core of the message is, if the foundation be destroyed, where will the righteous be? And unless the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain. And there was something that was awakened in my grandmother and within that church, and they stepped up, and they responded to the call of God for that season. My grandmother had a gift in her that was awakened that she had let, you know, lay dormant, because my grandfather filled that, you know, those roles and that, you know, and she served alongside of him. But there was a refreshed anointing that came on her in that day and that hour. And I stand before you today because of her faithfulness, because of her obedience, because she's the first one that got me in a pulpit, and I did not want to be a preacher. And I want to encourage you guys, the Lord, Pastor Bill and Donna, have built this in faithfulness to the vision of the Lord. God is just getting started with you. There's a lot that he wants to bring out of you. And your vision, your calling, that was set by the Lord, not just by Pastor Bill and Donna. And I want to encourage you as a body to continue to run the race, because Bill's race is finished, but yours is just getting started. And so for 2025, I've been chewing on two things. I had a gentleman that God blessed me to work alongside of. I had speak at a men's breakfast, and he's like, "I'm not a preacher." I said, "Just get up and share what the Lord put in your heart." It was 15 of the most glorious minutes that, I mean, it's 3 years ago, and it was a simple concept. You know, the word is oftentimes simple, and we make it complicated. And he said, we focus so much on what we've been set free from that we fail to realize what we've been set free for. For Abundant Life Center for 2025, I want to encourage you to remember what God had set you free from, so that you can clearly see what God has set you free for. Because we are entering into a time of acceleration where the Holy Spirit is going to fill us with that power. For those that wait upon the Lord, for those that are willing to receive it, God's grace, the word grace in one section where it says that God gives us his grace is the word charisma, which means powerful gift. He is giving you a powerful gift. And one of the things that you need to realize is that the calling and the gift that God has placed in you, it is bigger than you can possibly imagine. It is greater than you can possibly achieve. But it is the grace of God that fills you, that gives you the ability to do what you cannot naturally do. And so part of that, in agreeing with the apostle, Grandpa, I can't wait till he gets back to the States, and my brother and the heart of a spiritual father in my life. And you guys, I want you, he didn't know I was going to do this, but I want you to absorb everything that he pours into you over this season. I would also not be standing in this place today if it wasn't for him and Sharon, because God sent them into my life when I needed them most. It's not an accident that he's here with you right now. So receive. One of the things that in 2025 we need to see is we've been programmed through the way that we do church in America to see God in different lights through different seasons. We just got done with Christmas, and so, you know, we see him as a baby. And then, you know, when we get closer to the time of Resurrection Sunday, we think about the cross, and we think about, you know, the resurrection of God. And then throughout the year, you know, we have our different events and our different, you know, what do they call them, Advents or whatever else, right? And it programs us to only think of these certain things in certain times and certain ways, but we need to see that it's a complete work of God. And outside of that, we have another set of religion that causes us to see God as this unattainable, unapproachable being. And the truth is, for us to tap into the grace that God wants to give us, for us to receive the fullness of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we need to see God for what he truly is, and we need to realize that the word that was put in me when I was here and Kevin shared about, you know, how we need to lay things down is Emmanuel, God with us. What does that mean? That means that Jesus Christ came as us. He met us where we are. But through human religion, human tradition, we keep trying to recreate, like the children of Israel, a God in our image instead of seeing that we were created to be in his image and his likeness. Jesus Christ came, and he became like you and me. He was a baby. He suffered all the things that you and I would suffer. Everything that you've ever experienced, every doubt, every worry, every fear was laid on him on the cross. Every sickness, every pain, every disease, he took on himself. Because he is the God who truly understands exactly what you've been through, and he is the deliverer that can deliver you and set you free from everything that's kept you bound. He faced it all, and he was able to overcome it. And as people, as children of God, we are called to be like he is. And so to do that, and this is what triggered this last time I was here when Kevin was reading that passage from Revelation, is to see what Jesus Christ came to bring us to. He came to where we are so that we could go to the place where he was. We could approach God in his glory and in his wisdom. So I'm going to read through scripture really quickly. If you need this afterwards, it's fine. 8 to 10 minutes. I'm trying to keep that honored. I forgot to set my timer, though, so you have to tase me if I go over. Isaiah chapter 6, I like that. Isaiah chapter 6, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, high and exalted. The train of his robe filled the temple. The seraphim stood above him. Each had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face. With 2 he covered his feet. With 2 he was flying, and they kept calling to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of the heavenly armies. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds quaked at the sound of those who kept calling out. The temple was filled with smoke. In 2 Chronicles 7, I love this. This is like my favorite passage of scripture. They got done interceding and praying, and it says, as soon as Solomon finished his prayer, fire descended from heaven and burned up the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter into the temple because of the glory of the Lord that had filled the temple. And when all the Israelis saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord resting on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground and on the pavement, and they worshiped and they gave thanks to the Lord, saying, because he is good, because his gracious love is eternal. In Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 through 10, 13 through 14. I kept on watching until the Ancient of Days was seated, the Father. His clothes were white like snow. His hair on his head was pure like wool. The throne burned with flaming fire, and the wheels burned with fire. And a river of fire flowed out from before him. Thousands upon thousands were serving him. Millions upon millions were waiting before him. The court sat in judgment, and the record books were unsealed. And I continued to observe the night vision. And look, someone like the Son of Man was coming, accompanied by the heavenly clouds. He approached the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. To him dominion was bestowed, along with glory and a kingdom so that all people, all nations, and all languages could serve him. It will never pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Revelation chapter 1, the disciple who Jesus loved, John, the closest man on earth to him, was there at the foot of the cross, laid his head on his bosom when they would eat. This man was not prepared for the glory that he was about to see when his friend appeared in all his glory. Then I turned to see who was talking to me, and when I turned, I saw 7 gold lampstands, and among the lampstands, there was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash around his chest, and his head and his hair were white like wool. In fact, they were as white as snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire, and his feet were like glowing bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of raging waters. And in his right hand, he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun when it shines in all of its glory. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though I was dead. But he placed his right hand on me and he said, "Stop being afraid. I am the first. I am the last. I am the living one. I was dead, but look, I am alive forever, and I have the keys of death and hell. Therefore, write down what you have seen, what is, and what is going to happen to you after this. The secret meaning of the 7 stars that you saw in my right hand and the 7 gold lampstands is this. The 7 stars are the messengers of the 7 churches, and the 7 lampstands are the 7 churches. And before this happened, he saw once, like the Son of Man, he saw Jesus standing in the midst of the church. And see, this is the revelation. We keep trying to bring God down to our level. He already came to our level. He wants to take us to the place where he is. For the sake of time, I'm going to read you one more scripture. When the morning came, Exodus 19, when the morning came on the third day, there was a thunder and a lightning and a heavy cloud over the mountain, and the very loud sound of a ram's horn, and all the people in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people from the camp to meet God, and they stood at the base of the mountain. Mount Sinai was completely enveloped in smoke because the Lord had come down in fire upon it. And smoke went up from like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain shook violently. And as the sound of the ram's horn grew louder and louder, Moses would speak, and God would answer with thunder. And when the Lord came down to Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, he summoned Moses to the top of the mountain. And Moses went up. For 2025, we need to change how we see God. And we need to realize that Jesus Christ came to set us free from everything that holds us back from entering the presence of God in the fullness of his glory. God came down to the mountain. The whole reason that he set Israel free wasn't to teach Pharaoh a lesson. The whole reason he set Israel free was to bring them to that place, at that mountain, where he could introduce himself to his people, because up until then, they had only heard stories about the Most High God. One of the things you will discover when you read through these accounts of what heaven is like, of what the throne of God is like. If you are somebody who approaches God through the blood of Jesus Christ and honoring the presence of who he really is, the worship and the prayer that you will pray and that you will sing, it will be infectious. And what you see is, in front of the throne of God, when one realm of angels start worshiping, it starts a chain reaction that starts on the other side of the throne, and they start worshiping. And when they start worshiping, the elders cast their crowns down and they start worshiping. And if you want to see this world change and you want to see the fire of God in the churches again, it starts with us in our prayer closets. It starts with us making the declaration of Joshua: "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You speak that over the impossible. You believe that God is a God of the impossible, because he is the one that makes the mountain shake. He is the one that makes the earth tremble. And he is the one that on that mountaintop calls you to come to where he is. Be like Moses and go to the top. Don't be like Israel and wait at the bottom and just settle for the thunder and the sound.